السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إله الأولين والآخرين. وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، so welcome to this week's lesson of Quranic progression. I think this is lesson 13 or week 13 of this year, our seventh year of QP, and inshallah ta'ala we're going to continue with our tafsir of Surah Al-Mutaffifin. So last week we mentioned those verses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now speaking about the record of the righteous, the abrar, and how Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that they were in the illiyin, that record was in the illiyin. And we said that word illiyin is the plural of a word which refers to height upon height, or something which is extremely lofty, loftiness upon loftiness. And some of the scholars of tafsir refer to that as being in the seventh heaven. Others said that it is by the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Al-Imam At-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala then summarized or concluded those different statements of the Salaf, he said that it refers to a place that is high and lofty. Only Allah Azza wa Jalla knows the extent to that height and that loftiness. But the least that it is the seventh heaven. And he took that basically from all of those statements of the companions and the tabi'een that commented on this verse. None of them said that it was below the seventh heaven. And so he took that position that at the very least there is the seventh heaven, and possibly above that, and Allah knows best exactly what height that reaches. And then Allah Azza wa Jal asked concerning this record of the righteous, as he did when he was asking concerning the record of the sinful and the evil. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and what will allow you to know what is illiyun? And then he mentioned those verses that are also repeated in this surah, that it is a clearly inscribed list or a clear written record. And Allah Azza wa Jal says something very similar, as we know, concerning the record of the Fujjar that's in As-Sijjin. So we continue inshallah ta'ala today from verse number 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still speaking about this record, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is speaking about the record of the Illiyin, right, or the record of the Abrar, the righteous that is in Illiyin. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in verse number 21, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يشهده المقربون, witnessed by those brought near. And that's the translation of Professor Abdul Harim, Dr. Mustafa Khattab, witnessed by those nearest to Allah. Sahih International, which is witnessed by those brought near to Allah, in brackets. And Muhsin Khan, to which bear witness those nearest to Allah, i.e. the angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds something in this verse concerning the record of the Abrar that he didn't mention concerning the record of the Fujjar. So if you remember, if we cast our mind back now a few weeks, when we were speaking about those verses which Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the Kitab al-Fujjar, the record of the sinful, the evil. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said that was in As-Sijjin. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla asked the question, what is Sijjin? Right? And we mentioned the different statements of the scholars of the Salaf in terms of what they said Sijjin was. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says again that it is Kitab al-Marqum, a clearly inscribed list, meaning that it is something which has been decreed and decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't say anything further. Allah doesn't speak about any witnesses. Allah doesn't speak about any, you know, any type of testimony that's given towards that record, or people that are witnessing exactly what this type of record is and how it is presented. But here when Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks about the righteous and the abrar, Allah Azza wa Jalla adds something that he doesn't mention. And that addition is always to show favor, right? Addition usually is to show some favor. And it is to show that therefore Allah Azza wa Jal gives to these people an honor that the people of the fire don't receive. And that is that for the people of Jannah, when their record is displayed, then it is something which is attested to and witnessed by those that are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the witness or the testimony or the record, if you like, of the evil, it is not in the lofty, in that lofty or noble companionship of the angels to be witnessed in the first place. because we said Sijjin, according to many of the scholars of tafsir, is in the fire or in the depths of the earth, in the lowest of the earths, the seventh earth. And so therefore, that's not where the angels are. There is no noble companionship there. The noble companionship is above us. It is where Allah Azza wa Jal is above his throne in a manner which befits his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as you know, was on his deathbed and he was making dua, he would say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma bir rafiqil a'la, O Allah, with the highest companionship, meaning the noblest companionship, which is the highest companionship, because Allah Azza wa Jal is above us. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say for the fujjar that's a record that is going to be witnessed. And what it means here by witnessing is that they are there to see it, not as witnesses as in a court where you're a witness and you're called to testify and give testimony. No, this is the type of witnessing when you see and you observe and you're there to see that record being displayed. Just as if you had a champion or a winner or someone who was given like the first prize in something, all of those people that are gathered there to watch the ceremony aren't witnesses in the sense that they are going to testify, but witnesses in the sense that they are observing what this is, right? And that's what people always have. Inaugurations, in celebrations, in terms of prize-giving ceremonies, in those types of occasions, there are many people that just simply come to witness, to observe, and to see. So when it comes to the fujjar, the evil, as we said, Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his Sunnah, they show to us very clearly that when it comes to the evil doers and the people of sin and evil, they're not given any type of honor. No honor is afforded to them, not even the slightest, smallest, most insignificant way. None of that is given to them. And that's why even something as simple as just having people around there to see or to observe or to hear, that's also not given to them because they're not worthy of even that. Whereas when it comes to the believers, the abrar, these people of righteousness, these people of goodness, these people of tawheed, these people of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and righteous deeds and actions and taqwa, for them Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And that is an extra virtue or something extra that is mentioned concerning them that shows that they are of a status that is higher and loftier and more beloved and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than those who were from the people of Sijjin, or from their record was in a Sijjin. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Rather, it will be witnessed by those who are brought near. And those that are brought near to Allah Azza wa Jal are those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected to be from his closest of servants and slaves, the creation that Allah Azza wa Jal created to do as he bids and to do as he commands subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you saw in one of the translations that they said in brackets, angels, right? That was the translation of Muhsin Khan. And that's because that is, generally speaking, the kind of statements that you will find amongst the early scholars of tafsir. For example, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ أَيْ كُلُّ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ. All of the inhabitants of the heavens bear witness to this. And the inhabitants of the heavens are first and foremost the angels. And a similar statement is mentioned by Qatada rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, مِنْ مَلَائِكَةِ اللَّهِ, from the angels of Allah. And Al-Dhahhak said in the tafsir of this verse, or in his commentary on this verse, يَشْهَدُهُ مُقَرِّبُ أَهْلَ كُلِّ سَمَاءِ, that it is those that are drawn close by Allah Azza wa Jal in every one of the heavens, they witness this. And Ibn Zayd said something similar, that it is the malaika, it is the angels. And that's because when Allah Azza wa Jal presents, or when this record is given or brought to the highest heaven, then obviously the angels that are there, they see this and they bear witness to it. And this is very similar to the well-known hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiyallahu an, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned how the soul of the believer, once it leaves the body, is taken towards the heavens, right? It is ascended throughout the heavens until it reaches the highest of the heavens, and that's where Allah Azza wa Jal honors it and tells it to go back into its body, into the grave, and it will be honored there further. The hadith also says that every time it passes by a group of angels and they smell the good scent that comes from this soul, And they call it by the best of names by which it was known, right? They honor it over and over again, and that's because that person's record will be in al-Illiyin. And there is a similar statement here. It is attributed to Wahab and also Ibn Ishaq. Ibn Ishaq, being the famous scholar of the Seerah, has a famous work in Seerah. He said, "Al-muqarrabuna huna Israfil." He said that those that are drawn, or those that are brought close to Allah Azza wa Jal, here refers to the angel Israfil. And Israfil is the angel, as we know, that is the one that will blow the trumpet on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He says, فَإِذَا عَمِلَ الْمُؤْمِنُ عَمَلَ الْبِرِ. So if the believer is someone who did righteous deeds, صَعَدَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بِالصَّحِيفَةِ, then the angels will take the record of that individual, the righteous soul, and they will ascend with it. وَلَهُ نُورٌ يَتَلَأْلَأُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ كَنُورِ الشَّمْسِ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the record of that person has light, or it has a light that illuminates in the heavens, just as the sun illuminates the earth. حتى ينتهى بها إلى إسرافيل, until eventually they come to the angel Israfil, فيختم عليها, and he seals it, or he puts his stamp on it. ويكتب فهو قوله, and he writes it down or inscribes it, and that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يشهده المقربون, that it is those who are drawn close to Allah that will bear witness over it, or that will witness it, meaning that they witness the inscribing of this name in the Illiyin. This statement of Wahb ibn Ishaq seems to be taken, Allah Azza wa Jal knows best, from the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azim and similar narrations of the Sunnah. And so if every single, like as some of them said, we mentioned was the statement of Ibn Abbas and then Ad-Dahhak, that it is the inhabitants of every heaven, right? And then others said it is the angels. In fact, Al-Tabari, when we come to it, he will basically say that it refers to the same thing. And that's because when the angels come, as is mentioned in some of those narrations, when they come to the first heaven, they seek permission to enter. And so the angels bear witness to the soul as it ascends throughout each of the heavens. And that's what seems to be the statement of these scholars because of those hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why they say that every heavens, or the angels of every heaven, witness the ascent of that soul until it finally reaches the seventh heaven, and that is where it is inscribed in the Illiyin, and that is the statement of Wahab and Ibn Ishaq, and they say that it is Israfil that does that, but I don't know of any hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that names the angel, but it's possible, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. And so it is the angels that Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to here, whether it is the angels of every single heaven or whether it is the angels that are with those that are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala said, يَشَدُ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ الْمَكْتُوبِ أَمَانِ اللَّهِ لِلْبِرِّ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Allah Azza wa Jal will allow register that is inscribed will be given safe passage, and it will be for those that have been given safety from the fire, and they will be given the victory of Jannah. And the angels that are closest to Allah Azza wa Jal from every single one of those seven heavens, they will witness the ascent of this as it rises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Ashur rahimahullah ta'ala said that what he means, يَشَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, is that it will be announced to those that are close to Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning to the angels, وَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. And it is a announcement that is given to them, meaning that this is a way of just, like you have someone, for example, who's won an award, has been given a prize, has won something which is very coveted, their name is announced, right? It's announced to the people, and therefore likewise the name of this person will be announced to the noble company of the angels. And so Ibn Ashur actually says the way that you would announce the name of a student if he came first in his studies, right, in education, or the name that you would have, the way that a name of a champion would be announced in his field or her field, right, whatever someone's doing, that name is announced. He said, likewise, Allah Azza wa Jal will ask or will command that the names of these people, has decreed that the names of these people is announced, and that's what we're referring to, يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. And so it is them witnessing the announcement being made of these people and their names. And as is mentioned in the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azim radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they will be called by the best of their names, right? So this is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, in the best and most positive way that they were referred to in the dunya. So this verse is شَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, this witnessing of the name being called out, or the name being inscribed, or the record being ascending to the highest of the heavens, That is something which is a further privilege and honor that Allah Azza wa Jal gives to the believers and to the people of righteousness and goodness that is not obviously given to the disbelievers. In verse number 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. The truly good will live in bliss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, and I think the translations are going to be very similar, and that's why I wasn't going to necessarily read them all out. They're very similar, so whether it's the righteous will be in pleasure or in bliss or in delight, all of it referring to basically na'im. Ibn Ashur rahimahullah ta'ala mentions something which is good here, and that is that he says that this verse now 22 onwards is again like there's a comparison being made here, right? So we have the comparison of the record that is in the Sijin, and now we've just covered the verses of the record that is in Illiyin. And then Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned three or four verses that spoke about the punishment of those people whose record in a Sijin. So he mentioned, for example, that they will be veiled from their Lord, right? That their hearts have been overcome with sin, that they were the people who denied and rejected Yawmul Qiyamah. And so Allah Azza wa Jal speaks about them in a number of verses to describe them. But from now, verse 22 onwards, Allah Azza wa Jal is now going to contrast that with the reward of the righteous, right? The bliss and the delight and the reward that will be given to the righteous. So this verse, verse number 22, is in contrast or comparison to those verses such as كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, right? That they will be veiled from their Lord, and then they will be thrown into the fire, and then it will be asked of them, is this what you used to deny, right? So all of those three verses that spoke about their different punishments, the punishments of the people of the fire, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now speak about the reward of the people of Jannah. And that's what Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that the abrar are those people who were righteous by fearing Allah azza wa jal and by fulfilling the obligations that Allah placed upon them, and by doing so they are lafi na'imin da'im, they will be in perpetual bliss, in perpetual reward. La yazulu yawm al-qiyamah, they will never have that removed from them on the Day of Judgment. وَذَٰلِكَ نَعِيمُهُمْ فِي الْجِنَانِ, and that is the bliss that they will find in the gardens of paradise. This word na'im, we spoke about before, like a couple of years back now when we were doing the tafsir of Surah Al-Takathur, right? Because Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in that surah, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And the word na'im in the Arabic language refers to every type of blessing. And it's a general word, so it encompasses every single type of blessing and favor and bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jal here also says, like in that verse in Surah Al-Takathur, if you cast your minds back or you go back to the lesson, we said that refers to every blessing that Allah Azza wa Jal bestows upon a person in the dunya. Allah says you will then be questioned about those blessings, right? Every blessing that Allah gave to you, Allah will question you concerning it on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And so those people who have more blessings will be questioned more, stands to reason. And that's why the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the poor will enter into Jannah before the rich by 70,000 years, because the rich have to account for more. They have more blessings. Allah gave to them more favors. They have more wealth and more possessions, more belongings that they will have to account for in terms of where they received it and how they spent it. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla will count them for all of that, even to the smallest of those blessings. And that's why we mentioned back then, but to refresh our memories, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one day he came out and he was hungry, and he found Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu also coming out of their houses. So he asked them, what brings you out this time of night? They said, O Messenger of Allah, nothing except hunger. So even the companions, even companions like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who generally was from the more affluent and wealthy companions, had times come upon him because of how much sadaqah he gave and some of the other issues that were going on, that sometimes he didn't have much to eat either. And so the two of them said, O Messenger of Allah, it is hunger that bore us out. The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I have also come out for the same reason as you, meaning I also come out because of hunger. So then he said, let us go to the house of one of the Ansar. And so they went to the house of one of the Ansar, and they found that he wasn't home, but his wife was there. They asked, where is he, your husband? She said, sit and wait, he's coming. He just went to his farm, bring some food and stuff, and he's coming, he's very close by. So they sat down and he returns. And he said, today, I don't think that there is any man honored more than I have been honored. I have in my house the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the two of the best of the companions, Abu Bakr and Umar radiyallahu anhuma. And so he goes and he gets water for them and he brings them dates. And then he says, O Messenger of Allah, wait, I will bring for you milk and I will bring for you meat, meaning I will slaughter one of my sheep or goats. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't slaughter the one that you need, meaning the fat one or the one that's giving you a lot of milk or that you need for your family. Don't slaughter anything that's precious to you. And so the man said, okay. He gave to them dates and he gave to them milk and water so that they could have something as he was going to obviously slaughter and prepare. That's going to take time. And then eventually he does that and he comes and he gives it and presents it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhuma, they eat and they eat and they eat to their fill. They were extremely hungry. The Prophet then said to them sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of that he said, by Allah, this is from the na'im that you will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. This is from the na'im. This food here, that's from the blessings that Allah will ask you about. And so it's not only about money, it's not only about possessions, it's not only about land and property, not only about those things that we think that are extremely, you know, like have a great materialistic value or have great worth and value. No, everything Allah can ask you about, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask you about. And that's why we know in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said that the 2 feet of the son of Adam won't move on the Day of Judgment until he's asked about 5. And only one is about wealth, or 2 if you like. The rest is about your health and your time and your life and what you did. That's not necessarily materialistic blessings, but they are blessings nonetheless, blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon you. And so in the dunya, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us na'im. Na'im, therefore, is a very generic word. It comes from the root word, as we discussed then, of ni'mah. Ni'mah, or some scholars said na'mah, with a fatha. Na'mah, they said, refers to any type of blessing, anything that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says that it is na'im. Allah will ask you about all of those blessings that He bestowed upon you. And because Allah Azza wa Jalla gave to you those blessings, and you used those blessings in a way that was halal, pleasing to Allah, within the confines of the Sharia, the parameters that the Sharia laid out for you, because you used those blessings in ways to come closer to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to attain His mercy, His reward, His pleasure, as people should do and can do when Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses them with a great deal of blessings. They can use their time, they can use their wealth, they can use their intelligence, they can use their skills to worship Allah, to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to serve His religion, to help others. All of those different things that all of us are aware of. Because those people did that, look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla now says in verse 22, when describing the reward of them, He simply says, لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. They will be in blessing, in bliss, in delight, in extreme happiness. And Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't have to go into detail. Just as in Surah Al-Takathur, you will be asked about every blessing. Allah didn't say just money. Allah didn't say just food. Allah didn't say, because that would restrict the meaning of the word na'im. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. There is not a blessing upon you except that it came from Allah. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would be unable to do so. So Allah Azza wa Jal mentions how it is every blessing in the most generic way. And that is what the Arabs do. It is from the ways of the Arabic language, that if the word is mentioned in a very generic way without the alif lam, then it means it is very generic. It is general, encompasses everything that comes under that description. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, He doesn't say أَنَّعِيمٍ, because in Surah Al-Takathur He said, يَوْمَئِذٍ ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمٍ. You'll be asked about the blessings. Because not everyone has the same blessings. Not everyone has access to every blessing. Some people have more, some people have less, some people have this type, other people have that type. It's not the same for everyone. You'll be asked about the blessings that Allah gave to you. For as for the people of Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jalla now responds and says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Not النَّعِيمٍ. They won't be just in some blessing or in the blessing, because the blessing restricts it to an amount or a type or whatever it may be. لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. They will be in bliss. They will be in constant blessing. And because of the the generality, if you like, of the word and the meaning of that word, then it is every single type of blessing. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jal refers to them at. And this is something which will be repeated a number of times in the Quran. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says that the people of righteousness are in Na'im, right? Or Jannatin Na'im. Sometimes Allah calls it Jannatin Na'im, which is the gardens of bliss, the gardens of delight, the gardens of reward. And that's why Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his tafsir, understanding that this is the meaning of the word, he said in the tafsir of this verse, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ, he said that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that they are in Na'im, and therefore هُوَ اسْمٌ جَامِعٌ لِنَعِيمِ الْقَلْبِ وَالْرُوحِ وَالْبَدَنِ. It is a comprehensive term, a comprehensive noun that refers to the blessings and the bliss of the heart, the soul, and the body. Everything. And that's what we mentioned earlier, right? We've mentioned this, I think, previously in this tafsir, how when Allah Azza wa Jal decrees the blessing of Jannah for the people of Jannah, it is not just a physical blessing that they enjoy, but those verses that speak about how they won't grieve, how they won't have any sorrow, no sadness, no depression, no fear, all of those things show that there is a psychological element of reward and tranquility and peace and happiness that Allah will give to them also. And so that's why he says that the heart, the soul, and the body, the mind, everything will enjoy what is Na'im. So Na'im, just as we said, when it comes to Allah questioning us about our blessings, not only about the wealth, because people often think that blessings refers to monetary blessings. No, it's about your health, about your life, about your knowledge, about your skills. All of those are blessings from Allah. Well, likewise, here when Allah Azza wa Jalla says that he will give to you Na'im, it doesn't again just mean the physical, materialistic blessings of Jannah, but rather there are blessings of happiness, of contentment, of being pleased, right? And that's why actually the greatest rewards of Jannah are not the materialistic rewards. The greatest rewards of Jannah are not the palaces, and they're not the rivers, and they're not the gold and silver, or the clothing and the food and the drink of Jannah, even though each one of them is an amazing blessing and reward for the people of Jannah. But the greatest rewards of Jannah are two. The first of them is to see the face of our Lord, may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, as is mentioned in a number of hadith and mentioned in the tafsir of that verse, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ, for those who do good, they will have goodness in return and more. And many of the scholars of tafsir said that more is seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as is mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I think last week or the week before we went over some of them, that speak about seeing Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment. That's the first one. The second one is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the people of Jannah will be told that Allah Azza wa Jal wants to meet with them and give them something. And they will say, has Allah not already given us enough? Did He not already grant us Jannah and save us from the fire and give to us all of these blessings? Like, what more is there left? And so Allah Azza wa Jal will say to them, rather, what I will give to you that is greater than all of this is that I will give upon you or to you my pleasure. Never again will I be angry with you. Meaning, I will never be angry with you. You will only have my pleasure. Never again will I be angry with you. And that will be, as the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will not be given a blessing that they think is greater than that one. That Allah will never, ever be upset or unhappy with them ever. And that Allah will only give to them His love and His pleasure and His mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us those blessings, us and our families, our children, our parents, and all of the Muslims. And so therefore these are the greatest blessings of Jannah. Then likewise are not necessarily the materialistic blessings, right? The blessings of the palaces and the gardens and the food and clothing, the gold and silver. And so that's why Shaykh ibn Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala mentions this, that this word Na'im, ismun jami', it is a comprehensive word, a noun, that the way that it is said here, it denotes every type of blessing, whether of a spiritual sense, a psychological sense, a physical sense, whatever it may be, whether it's to do with the heart or the spirit or the body or the mind, all of that is included in this word Na'im. In verse 23, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to describe some of these blessings. And that's also from the beauty of the Quran, that sometimes the Quran gives to us a general verse that is comprehensive, and therefore we know that every blessing, whether it's mentioned, not mentioned, whether we can imagine it, can't imagine it, all of it is included in Jannah. But then Allah Azza wa Jal gives us some highlights, right? He gives us some of those blessings of Jannah so that we can be motivated, we can be encouraged, we can yearn and look forward to something that Allah Azza wa Jal is promising the believers. So in verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the first of those descriptions of detail, and he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab, seated on canopied couches gazing around, and in Sahih International, on adorned couches observing, and Professor Abdul Harim seated on couches gazing around, and Muhsin Khan on thrones looking at all things. The translation of Dr. Mustafa Khattab is interesting. He says, seated on canopied couches gazing around. And that's interesting because of the word araik. Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to the first of their blessings, and it is how they will be in Jannah. What will be their state? What kind of state will they be in? Will they be perturbed? Will they be agitated? Will they be resting? Will they be comfortable? What will they be? What will their general state be like in Jannah? And Allah Azza wa Jal describes it as being al araik, upon these araik, right? They are seated upon something called araik. And as Ibn Ashur, rahimahullah ta'ala, and other scholars of the Arabic language mentioned that the word araik is the plural of the word arika. Arika, just as you say safina, right? The same type of scale. Arika. Arika, araik is the plural. And arika, he says, is used in the Arabic language to denote three things. Number one, that it is an extended couch, right? So they use the word couch, and what they mean by couch, so this is, you probably can't see it exactly, but I'm sitting on an armchair, right? An armchair. And a throne is usually also, like an arsh is also something which is usually upright. Whereas an arika is a couch, and what it means by a couch is, you know, like you get those lazy kind of sofas, they call them, I think, or lazy armchairs, where you can actually stretch out your legs. That's what they mean by a couch. So number one, in Arabic, sometimes they call this the word sarir. Sarir means a bed. But obviously we now use the word sarir to refer to the bed that you go to sleep at night. Doesn't mean that kind of bed. But what it means is a place like where you can sit and recline. So these people in Jannah, to show that they are resting, that they are comfortable, that they're in a state of tranquility, carefree, no problems, no issues, no worries. They are relaxing. And so they are reclining on these couches. Right? As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions elsewhere, muttaqi'ina ala furush, that they will be reclining. And so they are reclining because it is like an extended seat. It is like a couch in that sense. Number one, that's the first thing that arika refers to according to Ibn Ashur. Number two is that it is full of cushions, that it is cushioned. And so it has cushions around you, just as you would expect on something that is comfortable to sit on, that it's not just going to have the general material of the seat and maybe the arms, but it's going to have cushions that surround it. And number three, that it's going to have a hajara, which means a canopy, right? And that's why I was saying that Dr. Mustafa Khattab's, even though he's got it in brackets, but he mentions that as the only one. The others don't really speak about the canopy, only he does. The rest just say couches or adorned couches, as Sahih International says, right? So the third thing, therefore, so number one is that it's an extended seat, it's like a couch. Number two is that there has to be cushions surrounding it. And number three, that it is a canopy. And the canopy there is obviously to give shade, right? And to give some privacy also. He said, when all three are there, فَلَا يُقَالُ أَرِيكَةٌ إِلَّا لِمَجْمُوعِ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ. The word arika in the Arabic language refers to all three of these descriptions. That is when something is called an arika, or the plural araik. And that's an example of the eloquence of the Arabic language, that one word can refer to three things. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't use the word arsh, doesn't use the word kursi, doesn't use the word sarir. All of these are different types of places that you can sit and recline and rest upon. But Allah Azza wa Jalla uses the word arika, Ibn Ashur says, because the word denotes three things. And that is the ultimate type of comfort, that you are extended, like reclining, relaxing, surrounded by cushions, and with a canopy above you to give you some shade and privacy. And so that's an example of how, you know, like the translations would just say seated on couches. And most people just think that it looks like, you know, like one of the sofas that you get at home or a couch that you would find in someone's house. No, this is different in terms of what it means. And others, you know, like Sahih International said that it is adorned, right, in its translation. And that's because some of the scholars of tafsir or some of the salaf, that's what they mentioned in the description of the word araik. So for example, Mujahid, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, min al-lu'lu'i wal-yaqut, it is made of pearls and gems and rubies. That's what it will be adorned with. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is actually someone who mentioned the canopies. He said, as-surru fil hijal. He said the word arika refers to an extended couch that is canopied. And that's why Al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was also mentioning this, he said, عَلَى السُّرُّرِ فِي الْحِجَالِ مِنَ اللُّؤْلُؤِ وَالْيَاقُوتِ. He combined between the two statements of Ibn Abbas and Mujahid. And he said that they are extended couches that are canopied, made of pearls and gems and rubies. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be looking, gazing. Gazing at what and whom exactly? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here doesn't mention that, and that's why At-Tabari rahimahullah ta'ala just simply says that they are gazing, ينظرون إلى ما أعطاهم الله من الكرامة والنعيم والحبرة في الجنان, that they are looking at all that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them of blessings, of honor, of favor, and of reward in Jannah. So that's the first position. The first position in terms of what they are looking at is that they are looking at their extended kingdom. They're looking at their extended kingdom. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that that's the first position. The first position is that they are looking and gazing at the vast kingdom that they have. Right? So Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them this vast kingdom. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if one of them was to look at their kingdom, it would go beyond the horizon. Right? So you can't, the person in Jannah won't be able to see with their naked eye the extent of their kingdom, because their vision, and their vision will be perfect in Jannah, right? 2020, as we say, like completely perfect vision. They won't be able to see the ends of their kingdom, meaning it will extend beyond the horizon. And that's why every person's kingdom in Jannah is something that is extremely exclusive and private. No one has anything that anyone else will want or possess or covet. And there is no, obviously, there is nothing that anyone needs to fear of anyone else in Jannah. But it is vast. It is vast, the kingdom of a person in Jannah, and that which Allah Azza wa Jalla will give to them of land and property. And so that person is looking at all that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them. And then obviously within that garden of Jannah, there are palaces, there are tents, there are servants, there are rivers, there is food and drink, there are trees and shade, there's fruit and gold and silver, all of those different things. So that person will always cast a glance at all that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them as they're relaxing and they're looking and they're seeing all that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to them of the rewards of Jannah. That's the first position. And that's why Ibn Kathir rahimahu ta'ala mentions that. He says that they look towards that which Allah gave to them, min al-khayri wal-fadli alladhi la yanqadi wa la yabid, and all of the blessings that Allah gave to them that will never end, that will never diminish. That's the first position. The second position is, he said, that they will be looking at Allah Azza wa Jal. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, he says, is likely, or it is a good position, because it is in contrast, therefore, to what Allah Azza wa Jal said about the fujjar. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal say about the disbelievers, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, that they will be veiled and screened from Allah? So this makes sense now that Allah Azza wa Jal is contrasting the two. This is the punishment of those people. Never will they see Allah. They will constantly be veiled and screened from Allah, whereas the believers, the righteous, the people of Jannah are ينظرون على الأرائك ينظرون. And that's similar to the hadith, as we mentioned, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they will see their Lord when Allah Azza wa Jal allows them to see Him, and it will be the greatest reward that they will have. And as the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they won't need to jostle. They won't need, like, they will see Allah Azza wa Jalla just as clearly as someone in the dunya can see the sun in the middle of the day on a cloudless day, and the moon, the full moon, on a cloudless night. And so likewise, they will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyam and in Jannah. And he also mentions then the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Kathir actually mentions this hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, which is collected in the Tirmidhi, that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ أَدْنَى أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْزِلَةً لَمَنْ يَنْظُرُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَسِيرَةَ أَلْفَيْ سَنَةٍ يَرَى أَقْصَاهُ كَمَا يَرَى أَدْنَاهُ. He said that the person that will have the least reward or the least station in Jannah is the one who can look towards his kingdom, and his kingdom will extend for the distance of 2,000 years of riding. 2,000 years of riding. But if he wishes, he can see that which is the furthest part as easily as he can see that which is the closest part. يَرَى أَقْصَاهُ كَمَا يَرَى أَدْنَاهُ. He can see the furthest part of his kingdom just as easily if he wishes as he can see his closest one. Meaning, if you had a kingdom that took 2,000 years of riding to get to the ends of it, you'd never be able to travel there. Or you think, getting there is going to take me years and years. But that person, Allah Azza wa Jalla, if he wants to go and see it, or he wants to visit it, it won't take him that long. It's just how the distance is measured in terms of the dunya, right? In terms of how long it would travel, that travel time would have taken for people in terms of the dunya years. And then the hadith continues, وَإِنَّ عَلَاهُ لَمَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مَرَّتَيْنِ. And the ones that will have the highest station in Jannah are those that will look towards Allah Azza wa Jal twice a day. And that's why Ibn Kathir liked both of these positions. He mentions the position of At-Tabari, that it's referring to looking at the kingdom that Allah Azza wa Jal has given someone, and also the other position that is looking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he likes both of them because he says that this hadith of Ibn Umar in a Tirmidhi mentions both. And it does mention both, but this hadith is one that is disputed in terms of its authenticity. Disputed in terms of its authenticity. And Imam al-Tirmidhi said that it is gharib, it is a strange or a peculiar hadith. But they mention it and they accept it because it's possible. Right, these types of hadith, the scholars of hadith would mention and narrate in their collections, because even though the chain has some problem in it, like it's not like the strongest or most authentic of chain, it was their methodology that if something is likely or possible, or it is similar to what other things seem to be saying, other texts seem to be saying, then they will mention it. So because of this verse, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, that they are gazing, and then you can see different statements of the scholars saying something similar, like the understanding is there. The scholars consider this hadith possibly, and Allah knows best. And we have other hadith that speak about the vastness of a person's kingdom and how some of the people will see Allah Azza wa Jalla more regularly than others because of their status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how close they are to Him. So that is the second position that we have. The third position that we have, so those are two that are mentioned by Ibn Kathir. The third position is one that is mentioned by Muqatil. And he says that it refers to يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ عَدُوِّهِمْ كَيْفَ يُعَذَّبُونَ. They will be looking towards the people of the fire and looking at how they are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the enemies therein. So the people that harm them, that punish them, that ridicule them, right? As Allah Azza wa Jalla says at the very end of this surah, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. Allah will say, and we'll come to this at the very end of this surah, Allah says that on that day, the believers will now laugh at the disbelievers as they are reclining on their couches, gazing. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions it twice, this reclining on couches and gazing. And so Muqatil says that it's possible that Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to both, but it seems that these are two different verses that speak about two different times or two different types of gazing that the people of Jannah will have access to. One is their kingdom, or seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He decrees and allows for that to happen. And the second is that Allah Azza will allow them to look towards those people in the fire that used to harm them and mock them and torture them and oppress them. And they will be able to see them and what Allah Azza wa Jalla is doing with them. And that's a sense of justice, right? And that's why in the dunya you have courts. You have a legal system where where the victim and the family of the victim are able to come and see justice being given. Right? Every court system has that. That's like something that you find everywhere in every law system. The victim has a right. And or if the victim is died, then the family, the close family of the victim have rights, where they come and they see that justice being dispensed, and they get to make their, you know, like in normal court systems, they get to make what they call a victim impact statement, right? When it comes to if that person's found guilty, they can speak and they can tell the judge how it affected them and how it changed their lives and so on. And so, you know, obviously it is not one and the same, but Allah Azza wa Jalla, Him allowing people to see the punishment of their enemies in the fire, that's also something which is from the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Muqatil says that that is what it is referring to. So that is the third position, right? That is the third position. The first being they're looking at their kingdom. The second being that they're looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third being that they're looking towards the people of the fire and the punishment that they are being given. And it seems that Muqatil, as we said, is making a link between this verse and the verse that will come towards the very end of the surah, which Allah Azza wa Jal seems to speak or mention this anyway, or something similar to this, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. The fourth position in terms of what they are looking at that is mentioned here is mentioned by Ibn Atiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala in his tafsir, and he says, وَيُحْتَمَلُ أَن يُرِيد بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ يُحْتَمَلُ أَن يُرِيد بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And it is possible that what they are looking at, he says, Ibn Atiyyah, is that they are looking at one another. They are looking at one another. And that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elsewhere in the Quran, He says, عَلَى سُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. When He speaks about the believers, He says that they are on those reclined couches facing one another, meaning the people of Jannah. They will be facing one another. And so He says that it's possible that Allah Azza wa Jalla is also referring to this here. And we know that there are a number of narrations in the Sunnah that speak about how the people of Jannah will visit one another, will speak to one another, will have times where they will congregate with one another. And that is something which is, as I said, mentioned in the Quran in that verse, عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. It's also mentioned in a number of ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Ibn Atiyyah says that's possible, that that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla is referring to also. So these are the four positions that we have. Number one, that it's referring to their kingdom. Number two, that it's referring to seeing Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number three, that they're casting a glance at the people of the fire as they are being punished. And number four, that it's speaking about the people of Jannah seeing one another, speaking to one another, gazing upon one another. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, but it's possible that all four are being referred to here, because when they look, it's not just one glance or once that they gaze, but the people of Jannah will gaze and look at different things at different times in different scenarios. And perhaps that is the hikmah and the wisdom, and Allah knows best, of Allah Azza wa Jalla again making it general, right? And so that's why you have these different statements of the scholars of tafsir, because Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't specify. He simply said, عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They will be on their couches reclining, gazing. And Allah didn't mention gazing at what, didn't specify. And that's from, as you know by now, inshallah, you know that this is from the eloquence of the Quran and from the language of the Quran, that it won't actually specify, it will just make it very general. Just looking and gazing, even though that sentence doesn't seem to be completed. If I was to say to you someone was on their couch gazing or looking, you'd probably ask, looking at what? Right? That's the next question. And that's why obviously these statements of tafsir you have speak about what it is that they're looking at. But Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't mention that. And that's why I think Al-Imam At-Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he spoke about how he chose the position that they're looking at their kingdom and what Allah has given to them of blessings, the other three are blessings of Allah. They fall within the kingdom that Allah has given to someone, in the sense that and the blessings that Allah has given to someone in Jannah. So either the kingdom or the blessings. From the kingdom is obviously seeing what Allah has given to people. And from that kingdom is being able to sit with other people in Jannah and speak to them. And from that kingdom or that blessing is that they can see the punishment of the people of the fire. And from the blessings of Jannah is to be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he doesn't just mention what was mentioned by some of the scholars when they just simply said that it is to see, right? To see Allah's, to see a person's kingdom. But rather he also mentions that it's also the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That seems to be the reason, or that seems to me anyway, and Allah knows best, the position of Imam At-Tabari, because Imam At-Tabari often, as we know, does this. When the verse is general, he also goes very general in terms of his tafsir and the position that he will take. And so the people of Jannah, when they are in Jannah, Allah Azza wa Jal will grace them and honor them. They will be able to see that which brings them a great deal of blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, yanzurun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't speak about what they will hear, doesn't speak about necessarily what they will taste or what they will feel or where they will walk. Allah Azza wa Jal focuses on this blessing, and that is the blessing of looking, the blessing of casting your glance upon something. And that's because that is something which usually brings the most amount of contentment and happiness to a person. So when a person, for example, owns a great deal, maybe they're a big business person, and they can see, you know, like all of the assets, and they can see everything that they have, or they have a file and a folder, or in our time, like, you know, online, they would be able to see all of their assets and all of their properties and all of their wealth. They look at that, right? And so that just seeing it, just knowing that it's there, gives them a great deal of contentment, even if they're not physically in every single one of those places or physically holding every single one of those blessings that they have or that wealth that they have or the possessions that they own. But just knowing and seeing it is enough for them. And likewise, when people, for example, look upon, you know, other things, if they go to nature and they look upon things, or someone who sees or has something which they can look upon, and from that they get a great deal of contentment. Sometimes you look at your family. You're sitting there and you see your family, your children, your parents, all of these people interacting with one another, and you thank Allah for the blessings that He gave to you. Just sitting in the corner, just watching all of these people. Your parents are there, your siblings are there, your children are there, maybe you have grandchildren, they're there, and you see all of these people interacting in a safe, happy environment, enjoying the blessings of Allah, people of Iman, inshallah, and Salah, and Ibadah, and you thank Allah for that amazing blessing. What are you doing? You're sitting there, yandurun, just looking and casting a glance, even though to hear, but it doesn't have the same level of fulfillment and contentment as seeing does, right? Hearing doesn't have the same level of contentment and fulfillment as seeing does. And so Allah Azza wa Jal uses this particular description for the people of Jannah, that as they sit in Jannah and they recline in Jannah and they rest in Jannah, they can look and see. They can see now the benefit of all of that hard work, all of that effort, all of that patience and perseverance and steadfastness, all of the times that they had to fight with shaitan and his whisperings, and fight with their own desires and their own nafs and soul, and fight with the temptations of the dunya and its distractions, and fight with people, those people that were trying to misguide them or trying to distract them from the remembrance of Allah, all of those different things that were coming at them from one angle or another, from one direction and the other, each one of them trying to cause an obstacle in the path to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pleasing Allah azza wa jalla and attaining the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each time that person, by Allah's help and through Allah's by Allah's mercy, that person was able to overcome, that person was able to persevere, that person was able to continue upon that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now Allah azza wa jalla has given them their reward. Allah has given to them that kingdom that He promised. Allah gave to them the Jannah that He guaranteed for them. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to them the blessings that Allah promised them that they would find within Jannah. So now that they have all of that, yandhurun, they can just sit back, relax and see and watch and look. And unlike in the dunya, where even if you had all of those things, it is a tainted looking, in the sense that you're looking, but you know that soon you will die and leave this. Or maybe someone's going to come and try to take it away from you. Or there's going to be problems. Or something sooner or later will come, because that is the nature of the dunya, that none of its blessings are everlasting, complete. None of them. Everything finishes, everything diminishes, everything, you know, causes problems and so on. And if you've been, if you've ever studied, for example, even history, you will see like the greatest kings, leaders, khalifas, when they think that they've attained so much of the dunya, and they've set everything that they can to give themselves power and position and authority, and they think that they've even secured it for their children and maybe even their grandchildren, like their progeny and their offspring, and that doesn't last. Maybe during their lifetime, maybe after they die. And that's something which is well known for anyone, for example, that has studied the history of any civilizations, any civilization or any dynasty, even the Muslims. You just have to look, for example, at the Abbasid Khalifas. The Abbasids thought that they had an extremely strong, stable dynasty. And it was only like within the matter of, you know, 50, 70, 80 years, 3, 4, 5 khalifas that were very, very strong. But very soon after that, the whole thing started to crumble. People killing, khalifas being killed, sometimes being killed by their own family members, their own brothers, their own children. That happened in our history. And so that person may sit there and think that I've achieved, Allah's given me all of this, or alhamdulillah, I'm all done. But the dunya, its very nature, is that the blessings of it will be tainted, other than the blessing of turning to Allah and worshipping Him and the blessing of Tawheed. And so in Jannah though, that tainting never occurs. That person will have complete sakina, tranquility, happiness, contentment, because they know that it will never diminish. And that's why, as Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says, الَّذِي لَا يَنْقَضِي وَلَا يَبِيد. It will never end, nor will it ever diminish. There is nothing to taint it, there is nothing to corrupt it, there is nothing that will make it any less of a blessing, or in any way make it deficient. And that is from the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal that He will give to the people of Jannah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next few verses will continue to speak about other blessings that they will receive also in Jannah. But I think for today, inshallah, we will conclude here. So if there are any questions, inshallah ta'ala, we will take them. Otherwise, we will stop. Okay, so if there's no, I can't see any questions. So inshallah, we will conclude here. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.